Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. On today's show, we'll hear a story that resonates with all Americans. A group of people facing oppression in their homeland flees to a new world and foments revolution to overthrow the ruling power. The group is not the fabled pilgrims of American history books, but Punjabi Sikhs, who in 1913 founded the rebel Gutter Political Party in Astoria to free their homeland, India, from British rule. My guest today is former Astoria City Councilwoman Karen Malin, who 5 years ago organized the first event recognizing the 100th anniversary of the group's founding. The group's efforts will again be honored in a rededication of a plaque that was stolen in October. The rededication will take place on Saturday, April 7th at noon, and the plaque explains the group's significance in both local and international history. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Karen.
Thank you, Joan. It's good to be back at KMUN again.
Great. Why don't we start by you just explaining a little bit more about what the Gutter Party was?
Well, the Gutter Party was, first of all, it was pretty much unknown to a lot of people. Certainly most Americans, maybe Indians, might have heard of it, but it was sort of lost in the dust of time. It took a historian, Joanna Ogden of Portland, she was doing research on political movements. And this was shortly after 9/11, when she realized she was interested in the Indian communities. She realized that 9/11 was going to be signified a very dangerous time for immigrants living in this country, particularly Asian immigrants, and particularly Sikhs who wear the turban. The turban might be confused with the Muslim turbans. In fact, two Sikh men who owned a gas station down in Texas were shot shortly after, in cold blood, right after 9/11, because they were confused with being of the enemy. So she wrote an article that was published in the Oregon Historical Quarterly in the summer of 2012. The title is Gutter: Historical Silences and Notions of Belonging. It's the early 1900s Punjabis of the Columbia River. At that time, in the early teens, Asian Indians were living, all working, living and working along the Columbia River.
How'd they end up here?
They came to escape the famines in India in the first place. They first came to Canada. Some made it through Canada, but at one time there was a ship called the Boku Moru. It was full of Indians. The photographs show mostly Sikhs. And I call it Sikh because that's what the pronunciation they have given me.
Okay, as opposed to Sikh, which most of us say?
Sikh. I was watching a British movie about India, and they call them Sikhs, but that's the British pronunciation.
Oh, okay.
So the word is Sikh. So even the name Gutter, G-H-A-D-A-R, sounds like gutter.
Exactly.
Like on your house. So it's the confusion of wording sometimes. When I'm talking, I have to remind people that gutter does not mean the gutter.
No, it's something completely different.
In fact, it is completely different because the word gutter means mutiny.
Well, yes, and let's get more into that. Explain the significance of this specific group and how it is believed that they really were instrumental in starting the whole eventual revolution that would overthrow British rule.
The group had actually Well, San Francisco thought that they had founded the group, and they have celebrated it ever since, until Joanna's article came out in 2012, saying, no, the correct place was Astoria. The Indians had migrated, from Canada. They couldn't stay in Canada because the high judge in Canada said Canada was for white people only. And so they traveled down through Canada. They were in Washington. They lived in Bellingham, and they were working there. But the Bellingham community decided to remove them, and went in and burned their houses down and created acts of terror to the people. So they kept coming further south. Gradually, they found their way to Astoria. The situation here was very different in 1913 in Astoria, because the population then was made up of, well, we know one-third Chinese people, but a great proportion of the people were from Finland. And they were...
Yes.
There were Norwegians here too, but a lot of Finns had come here seeking.
And wasn't Astoria's population about 20,000 compared to 10,000 today?
Yes,
at the turn of the century.
Oh yes, because this was a place for work. There were the canneries, and there
was bustling,
the logging. So the whole riverfront was just full of workers, and it was still that way in 1951 when I moved here.
And what types of work were the Indians doing when they came here?
They were working in the Hammond Lumber Mill that was in Alderbrook. And I think it was the Hume family, I believe, had the Hammond Mill. And the Indians were living in Alderbrook. There was a place called the Hindu Alley. But there were large rooming, it was almost like a dorm in a college dorm, large sleeping area, and then another area for another huge building in Alderbrook. They're quite magnificent as a social hall and a mess hall.
Those buildings, are they all gone?
There's one little quarter of cement left.
Really? Where is that in Alderbrook?
It's when you go down towards the Riverwalk, and it's the far eastern side of the Riverwalk. Joanna and I walked down there one day to look for it, and it's just a little teeny bit of concrete.
So around 45th Street or...
Let's see, you take a turn on 40. No, it's further east than that.
Okay.
You go down to, Cedar and then...
Birch.
Birch. It would be Birch Street.
Okay.
Quite near the Riverwalk, the Parks Department actually had cleared that field out and made it, cut a lot of the blackberries and brush to extend the Riverwalk. It's not much to see. But
that's where they were.
We have. And Jim Stopher had photographs. I went to him to see if he has quite a large collection of old photographs. So we have photographs now of those buildings that were there. And in one of the Cumtux magazine is a picture of what they called Hindu Alley, which were smaller houses.
About 200 of them?
Yes.
And were they all living in this small area in Alderbrook?
Yes, I imagine so.
And how were they received here, since they'd experienced such discrimination elsewhere?
Well, what we know that has been recorded is that the Finns were working alongside the Indians, were telling them about their struggle with Russia, because Finland was dominated by Russia, occupied by Russia for many years after Russia took it from Sweden. And so the Finns, their major goal in life was to get independence from Russia, and which they didn't get until 1917. But in 1913, they were working alongside the Indians. It was a time of... a lot of labor disputes too. Internationally, labor was standing up and fighting for more rights, better pay, better conditions, and all of that. And so the Finns were telling them about how you revolt against your oppressor. And the Americans in Astoria were saying, well, we had our revolution against Great Britain, and we kicked them out. We got our independence. This is how you do it. And so they were sharing their stories. So the Indians really got a lot of courage from listening to these people talking about the wars.
So it sounds like they were accepted here?
Oh, yes, I think so. It sounds like it. As my first knowledge about Indians living in Alderbrook was when the film Turbans was filmed here. Erica Anderson came up with her grandmother, a woman called Carter Dillon, whose picture is on the cover of the Oregon Historical Quarterly of 2012, summer 2012. She's the little girl in the front center of the photograph. She came up, she was 80 years old when she came up here. Her first place that she wanted to go to was Alderbrook to have a look at where she used to live.
Wow.
They drove up to Lorna and Michael Zemetkin's house.
Right on the water.
Right down there. And they met, and she said, I used to live here. And so that was a pretty wonderful piece of history for Lorna and Michael Zemetkin to find out.
Bet.
So they met with each other. The film Turbans was about, it was a coming-of-age story about children, the boys wearing their turbans at Astor School. And when it would snow, the Finn kids, who were mostly, Astor was mostly comprised of Finn kids, would throw snowballs at their turbans. And
was that in a playful way?
I don't know. Kids are kids.
And true.
They just will want to make fun of anybody
sure.
who's different. So the kids' struggle was with their parents, you know, can I cut my hair? Because underneath those turbans, they grow their hair. They don't cut their hair. And so it's rather poignant story about how do you assimilate or do you still
yes.
remain apart?
Right. Well, getting back to the political party, when they first came here, there was no gutter political party.
No, no. I think they came up, well, there had been the name in San Francisco. As I was reading, this Carter Dillon, who was the little girl at Astor School, married a man. They were living in San Francisco, and she said she used to go to the political speeches put on by the gutter party. They were all fiery and all of that. But I think the very first meeting happened at the Socialist Workers Hall in Uniontown. It was the Finnish Socialist
yes,
Workers Hall.
Which unfortunately is no longer here.
No, I think it burned down. And it's on the site of what is now the Motel 6, which used to
or
be
the Dunes Motel.
Yes. So the Finns at the Finnish Socialist Hall said, you can use our place to form your party. And they did. They had Indian scholars come from Portland. Har Dial was a scholar from Stanford University who came to help set up the party.
And this was in 1913.
This was 1913. So Astoria was a pretty lively place.
If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with historian Karen Malin, who is speaking about the rebel gutter political party comprised of Punjabi Sikh Indians. Formed in Astoria, the group began efforts in 1913 that would lead to the nonviolent overthrow of British rule of India in 1947. An event marking the anniversary of the political party's founding and rededication of a stolen plaque honoring their efforts will occur at noon on Saturday, April 7th at the Astoria Maritime Memorial Park under the Astoria Bridge in Uniontown. This is Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio. So how many people were involved in the formation of the party, and what did they do once they decided to form the Gutter Party? And that's spelled G-H-A-D-A-R.
I'm not sure how many people were there, but I would think a lot if they needed a big hall to have their meeting. And since the name Gutter means mutiny, of course, that means armed rebellion, which is very serious business. But when a people are pushed to the wall, when they have no more choices, no more leeway, nothing, no investment in the government in which they're living, they will rebel, and some do take up arms against their oppressor. So what they did, the members of the Gutter Party, the revolutionaries, did go back to India.
When was that?
I think it was shortly after that meeting, but there weren't enough of them, and the British, of course, were very military, or a military culture.
I would think that would be dangerous to go back.
It was dangerous. They were arrested. They were hanged. They were killed. They were slaughtered. It was not a successful rebellion then. However, the spirit continued. That was a first try for them. And as we know, in our own American Revolution, it took a while. There were many defeats. Many defeats.
So were any of them able to come back to Astoria?
Not those original people. No, I don't think so, because I think they perished in this. But the idea is still that prevailed. And many of the, in 1918, I think it was, or 19, the Hammond Mill burned down, and many of the Indians, almost all of the Indians, then migrated down to California, and became planters, tea planters, rice planters, as well as nuts and all of those. So we didn't know in Astoria that this had happened until we received a letter from Joanna Ogden. I was on the city council. This was, I think it was January 13, 2013, 100 years later.
Yes, and Joanna Ogden is with the Oregon Historical Society.
She is an independent historian, okay. But she was published by the Oregon Historical Society. Actually, she won the Palmer Award for this article. She's been to India. She was invited to India. In India, by the way, there is an enormous building. It's a city block in, I'm not sure which city in India, but it's dedicated to the Gutter Party. Mm. It's the same equivalent to, say, Boston would be for us. It's the place where it all started.
And before I forget, I do want to mention the sign. There was a sign commemorating their efforts here in the Astoria Maritime Memorial Park, but that was stolen in October?
Yes. It was. We have no idea what happened to it. There's no explanation.
So you don't have any evidence or...
No. Sergeant Randall, Detective Randall of the Astoria Police Department, is on the case, but he said, you know, it's surprising what kinds of things people will steal to put in their collection in their basement.
So did they have any reason to think it might be racism related?
No leads. We have absolutely no answers.
Would you, before we run out of time, I want to make sure you explain more what is going to happen on April 7th at the rededication?
Oh, okay. Well, we probably will read again the proclamation that we wrote, which is just recognizing the Gutterites that fought and died not only for the freedom of their home country, but also for the innate rights of the immigrant worker to lead a dignified and discrimination-free life. And so we celebrated the 100th anniversary at that time. In our program, we had speakers coming from all over. Now, news traveled to England, to India. We had constant correspondence with Indians from both places. So we wanted to make we had a pretty comprehensive two-day schedule. We met, first of all, at the Hampton Inn.
And this was 5 years ago.
This was 5 years ago. We had a plaque made up that described the founding of the Gutter Party and what happened. So the wording is on the plaque.
And that's the sign, that the plaque that was stolen.
That was stolen. It has the same design as the Maritime Memorial Park sign indicating.
But my understanding is, did former Mayor Willis Van Dusen purchase a new plaque?
Yes, he did. In fact, he said Van Dusen Beverage would pay for the new plaque. Betsy Johnson found out about it. Senator Johnson. He gave her the article, and she came back after reading it, the Oregon Quarterly article. She said, "This is big. I want to be a part of it too." So she's chipped in.
And they're both going to be speaking, aren't they, on April 7th?
They will. But the Indians in Salem will also be here, and they have formed the Gutter Memorial Foundation, Astoria, USA. It's a nonprofit organization, and they are sponsoring our event as well. And they will be paying for. Insist that they pay for restoration of the plaque.
That's wonderful. And will there be lunch? Did I read that?
Yes. There's a lot of East Asian Indians living in Astoria and Warrenton, Hammond.
Really?
Actually. They run mini marts, hotels. The Hampton Inn is Samir Sharma runs that place. His brother in New Delhi had sent us a stamp that the Indian government had issued in commemoration of this celebration. So at that time, we had many speakers talk about the party. And so this time, we will have speakers. It won't be quite the two-day event that we had in 2013. But the food, the food. They've decided they'll put up two tents and they're going to make Indian food.
And is that free and open to the public?
Of course. Everything is free and open to the public.
That's April 7th at noon under the big bridge at the Astoria Maritime Memorial Park. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's important for us to be learning about this piece of history, since it was 105 years ago?
Astoria is full of stories. It's the place. My sister Lisa Penner is the archivist at the Heritage Center, and I pop in every now and then to talk to her, and she'll tell me another new story, maybe not as big as this, but funny stories about things that have happened in the past. We have collections and many collections of stories. Comtex magazine that the Historical Society publishes, and she's the editor, tell those stories as well. We're just a special kind of a place. This is a very dynamic small town.
It seems surprising that the Finns from Europe and the East Indian Indians would have such a connection, that they would have gotten along as well as they did, especially in light of the discrimination that the Indians faced both in Canada and in their homeland.
Well, the Finns also were barred. My mother came here from Finland illegally. She eventually became a naturalized citizen, but they put a quota on the number of Finns. Apparently, the U.S. government didn't want too many Finns in the country because they were too revolutionary in their ways.
Really? I had no idea.
Yes. It's just part of their nature.
Do you know? Do you know if any of the descendants of the original Indians living in Hindu Alley back around the, just after the turn of the century, 1913, are going to be here on April 7th?
Their descendants will be here. They were here before at our first celebration.
So
the granddaughters, yes, the granddaughters.
That's great.
And the grandsons, they came to our original celebration, one of them who was a poet. And we sat on the grass at the Maritime Memorial Park, and he recited poetry. I would like to say that we didn't know how many people to expect for that celebration.
5 years ago?
5 years ago. Hundreds and hundreds of Indians came, and they were dressed in their Indian garb. It was so beautiful.
How far did they come from?
From India.
Seriously?
Yes. India, England, and California, mostly California. So I have many pictures of men in turbans, beautiful colored turbans.
Oh, I bet.
And they have adopted Astoria. They think that this is such a special place because it was allowed to happen here, the celebration.
What has drawn you to this story? You seem very passionate about it.
Well, I just like the connections with India. And as I said, I met some of the Indians from that filmed Turbans here, and Carter Dillon, who had lived in Alderbrook. So that was a very special time when they filmed Turbans in 1991. And then to hear another event had taken place here as well, a historical event. And I love history too. I'm a reader. I'm a nonstop reader, and of history mainly. So for me, this was just such a joy to delve into this story. So,
unfortunately, we are out of time. But I want to thank you so much for coming into the studio, Karen, and speaking about this important piece of our shared history.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
You have been listening to a pre-recorded interview with Astoria resident Karen Malin, who has been speaking about a band of rebel Punjabi Sikh Indians who in 1913 formed the Gutter Political Party in Astoria's former Finnish Socialist Hall. The party is considered by many to be the beginning of the Indian independence movement that led to the overthrow of British rule in 1947. A rededication of the plaque stolen in October and commemorating the Gutter Party's founding will take place at noon on Saturday, April 7th, at the Astoria Maritime Memorial Park underneath the Astoria Bridge in Uniontown. State Senator Betsy Johnson and former Astoria Mayor Willis Van Dusen, among others, will speak. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. Perspectives was engineered today by Brian Bovenizer. The show can be heard every other Friday on the stations of Coast Community Radio. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you would like to contact me, send me an email to perspectives@coastradio.org. Perspectives was supported in part by a grant from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. Thanks for listening.